All right. So this is largely in response to the ongoing threats and enactments of genocide and the global resurgence of things like anti-Semitism, homophobia, transphobia, the attacks on reproductive choice and health, and so on. Because that's the era that we are living in, apparently. A number of important steps must be taken to combat prejudice and hatred and bad ideas. A real solution would not include affirming any group of people as a chosen people in a chosen land and slavishly reaffirming traditional practices and beliefs. We need to strongly look past so-called traditional practices and beliefs and instead focus on whatever brings about justice and equality, be it traditional belief or not, and we must always be willing to challenge beliefs, including some of our own. And that's not always going to be, 100% possible to challenge even unjust or illegitimate ideas, but it can happen more often than one might think. And hopefully it will happen in the most peaceful ways possible, especially when there is actually an opportunity to avoid any sort of violence. Thankfully, we are in a position where we can learn from the mistakes of the past, and that is obviously a big part of what history is there for. We can learn from it. And, it can be difficult to challenge core concepts in the times that we live in, just as it has always been challenging. I mean, look back at the past, and you'll see a lot of people who really stood up and stood out because they challenged traditions. They had new, often very positive concepts, and they were innovators. But things are freaky right now. They're freaky enough that right now is the time that we must come forward and call people out on their nonsensical claims, at least much of the time. It's getting pretty bad out there. And no, I'm not just talking about the weather or anything like that. Recall how not very long ago, just a few years back, neo-Nazis marched from the shadows through Charlottesville, Virginia, chanting, "Jews will not replace us." Remember that? And that generated a lot of headlines and controversies. But also keep in mind, a certain orange-faced clown actually had Thanksgiving week dinner with one of those prominent Nazis who had attended the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. That prominent Nazi was named Nick Fuentes. Some of you have heard of him, and some of you might regret ever hearing about him, hopefully. But he's out there. He's a goofball and a lunatic, and potentially dangerous. I know he looks like just a dork who's broadcasting terrible ideas from some basement lair somewhere, but he had the president's ear, and that little Thanksgiving week meeting, it should have really just ruined the Orange One's presidential campaign, but somehow it didn't, because that's just how much we are flirting with fascism and neo-Nazism. So these times are they're something else. The efforts at challenging hateful beliefs have not been without controversy, and anyone who challenges traditions will be targeted with campaigns of lies. In fact, that is of course how fascism spreads. It's practically all built on lies, or at best, half-truths. A lot of prejudices and fears that people have, that they're not just based on lies. Occasionally, there might be a small kernel of truth, and that's how they kind of hook you in. Because, you know, like, well, look at the scare with all these illegal immigrants. I mean, a person with intelligence, or you know, the undocumented immigrants, but a person with intelligence can look at that issue and say, well, actually, the violent crime rate among that group is statistically considerably lower than the violent crime rate of native-born citizens in the United States. And that's all fine and good. But, of course, Fox News is going to latch on to any coverage of any crimes committed by an undocumented immigrant, right? And they're going to make it sound like, you know, it's the end of the world. And, of course, they'll propagandize it to the point where if you don't think it's the biggest crisis, you know, you must have your head in the sand, and, you know, we gotta put more people in prison, you know, you gotta beat more people over the head, you gotta have tougher laws, razor wire fences all over the place, you have to have gun towers, perhaps, labor camps. You know, if you don't really have to solve a problem, if you can beat it over the head, shoot it, stab it, kick it, throw it in a cage, bomb it, etc. You know, that's really how it starts. You know, they look at some piece of actual misbehavior from a group, in addition to whatever lies they're spreading about them, right? So lies are very common in this day and age. They're as common as ever. And unfortunately, because of the speed of the internet, they're in some ways easier to spread. There are more lies than there are abilities to debunk all of the lies, you know? And another thing that happens as far as that goes is people might be relatively innocently encountering these things online. And, you know, they will share the link, and uncritically, it will end up looking like the truth, even though there might be some key details that are wrong or the entire premise might be phony. But what happened right there? You might have been a unwitting propagandist. And that's really just how a lot of these conspiracy theories and dangerous ideas will spread. And, of course, one of the paradoxes here is that it is true that an idea unto itself is actually not particularly dangerous, right? You can entertain practically any idea, no matter how sinister it sounds. And if you're just thinking about it, well, it might not be bad. But when it becomes dangerous is when people have the ability to act on those ideas. And of course, people often do. So recall the lies that led to the Iraq War, which made the country of Iraq in a nothing but a crisis hotspot. You know, that war was all built on lies about WMDs and phony alleged allegations, or no, not allegations, alleged connections between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, right? So what happened there? Was anyone truly held accountable for those lies? No, not really. It was actually something that they got away with, pretty much 100%. And that's also the power of a corrupt system that all too easily falls for lies and scams, and, you know, there's rarely any sort of punishment for the powerful people who spread these lies and dominate in the media and lead people down these crazy paths. It's true that anytime critics have questioned whether the church should have power, you know, a religion should have power, they risk alienating people. And the same is true when it comes to politicians, you know. If you question a politician, you know, you'll have people instantly thinking, oh, you're just a rabble-rouser. You're just there pursuing some sort of narrative or whatever. And that may be true, but what if the narrative you're pursuing is actually the correct one and is more fact-based? And, the simple reason I publicly challenge religion at times is straightforward. Religious people have power in this country and throughout the world, and they impact our lives already on a daily basis. Just look at the news. A lot of things like the Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, they have a religious basis. Or, ironically, that whole so-called pro-life movement actually isn't particularly based on the Bible itself, but on a movement that considers itself based on the Bible. So the idea that they can legislate our lives, yet we cannot question their ideas, is ludicrous and dangerous. It is itself a cause of turmoil, even intellectually, let alone the real damage caused by dangerous ideas put in action, either through governments or by unhinged individuals acting in the name of something holy. They're thinking that they're on a mission, they're God's chosen mouthpiece or whatever. Again, chosen people, chosen land. So, as self-professed Christians are radicalized into far-right fascism here in the United States, it's incredible how rarely anyone is reminding them of the biblical injunction to love our neighbors as ourselves, and also to love foreigners as one would love a trusted neighbor or a family member. And those kind of passages, they're pretty common in the New Testament if you actually want to look up certain quotes like that. A lot of them come from the J-Man himself, Jesus. He's actually the source of many of those quotes. For some, hating and scapegoating others for problems, both real and imagined, is far more appealing than any talk of peace and love. It's like you're tempted to join the dark side, so to speak. Paranoia and the apocalypse or end times and demons, witches, satanic groups, etc. That they're exciting ideas. That they're a little bit more exciting than, tra-la-la-la-la, we're off into the sunset, sipping champagne in paradise or whatever, whatever analogy you want to use. And that kind of fear-mongering has become more convenient to some than simply looking at reality and trying to see things as they are. Reality is a little more complex than those sorts of things at times, But if you see yourself as a chosen people living on a chosen land, well, then you feel justified in demonizing other groups and creating all sorts of myths that will permeate your culture and embolden certain injustices that will be practically inevitable in whatever type of society you're trying to create as the perfect embodiment of good versus the evil outsiders, right? The appeal of being God's mouthpiece, a mini-savior here on Earth, makes a person feel profound, powerful, and superior over others, and makes them feel like something larger than themselves, while letting them be full of themselves simultaneously. That is the semi-understandable, emotionally appealing nature of these delusions of grandeur. It allows them to feel like the star of an action movie, like it's me against the world, or a small, relatively small group of elect, chosen few who have the task of saving the world from the evil influences of insert demonic group here. It also blurs reality and clouds the issues of human responsibility. It's not our actions and our judgments. It must be God's, right? Or the devil's or demons or things like that. We got issues and possible solutions mixed up by mixing up human and divine responsibility for historic events, such as the Holocaust, you know, and various other genocides, or the persecution of any other group. And hey, let's add the persecution of atheists here while we're at it, as they are seemingly seldom mentioned among history's victims. Fundamentalist cultures of practically any variety are low-hanging fruit for any sort of Hitler-esque figure who wants to exploit those ideas and those people. Those of us who are aware of the complexities involved in humanity's relationship with so-called God and of our responsibility for the world we live in, you know, they often felt an urge to explain, justify, and justify again the church's positions on things. However, at the end of the day, shouldn't salvation look a little better and more hopeful than a vast prison that's set on fire? That's really the ultimate question, I think, that we face.